In today's video, we're going to be discussing the relationship between Balzac and Dostoevsky, especially how the works of the former Balzac greatly influenced the ideas and presentation of certain characters in the works of Dostoevsky. To start off, we're going to talk a bit about the influence that Balzac had on Dostoevsky. How do we know that there is that influence? What are the connections that we can see between the two? Before we then talk about the themes and the ideas which are found in both of their works. So when we're thinking about the influence that Balzac had on Dostoevsky, the first instance of which Dostoevsky was interacting with Balzac on a very scholarly level was really his translation of Balzac's Eugène Grandet in 1844. Now, of course, you could say a translation does not necessarily mean that's the first time you interact with Balzac. That's definitely true. But at least on an academic landscape, first few works that Dostoevsky had as a literary artist, literary figure, was a translation of Balzac's works. And of course, in order to make a translation, you have to know the material of what you're translating very well. So that would suggest a deep, intimate connection with the works of Balzac from a very young age. Now, it can be suggested that that influence faded throughout his life. Of course, early Dostoevsky is very different from late Dostoevsky. However, if you actually notice the themes that are found in Balzac's works to Dostoevsky, you notice they remain rather similar throughout time. You see that starting off with, of course, the translation of Balzac, but then you see similarities in The Idiot, which we'll talk about in a bit, but also even towards the very end of his life in the Pushkin speech. This is something that Leonid Grossman wrote about and in his famous book, Balzac and Dostoevsky. In this Pushkin speech, he makes references to the ideas of Balzac, which really represents from how from the very beginning of Dostoevsky's literary career, he was interacting and engaging with Balzac, to the very end, because Pushkin's speech was given, I think, almost a year before Dostoevsky's death. He was given in 1880, and Dostoevsky died in 1881, if I remember correctly. He was still quoting and referring to the ideas of Honoré de Balzac, which is a very intimate connection that you can see there. So that's something very important to keep in mind. Those ideas were similar. Now, what are some of the motifs which are similar between the two figures? Because it's one thing to say, yes, some ideas are similar, but what exactly were their similarities? These express themselves in two forms. First of all, in a literary kind of inspiration, certain features in Balzac's novels, motifs, scenes in Balzac's novels find their ways represented in Dostoevsky's novels. Joel Hunt has a very beautiful article written about that topic. But one of those examples, which I think is quite fascinating, is the relationship between the death scene of Nastasia Philipovna at the end of The Idiot with Balzac's Fraunhofer in Le Chef d'Oeuvre Inconnu. I hope I pronounced that correctly. If I don't, I apologize. Mia culpa, mia culpa. But in both of these scenes, what we do notice is, well, of course, in Nastasia Philipovna's death scene, she's dead and she got killed by Rogozhin. So she's kind of lying there. She's dead. You can't see her body apart from certain parts of her body were exposed, and she's dead, essentially. And in Balzac's novel, what happens is that this guy, Fraunhofer, really loves to draw this nude figure, but then he falls in love with this nude figure, but draws all of it. But when he completes it, he shows it to his pupils or apprentices, and the apprentices look at the nude figure and say, well, the only thing I see is a chaos of colours and the feet exposed. So there's this similarity in the motif of someone who loves something very much, because Rogozhin loves Nastasya in the same way that Fraunhofer loves the nude figure that he's drawing. The only things which are exposed are the feet in that sense. There's this very abstract idea that no matter how much this Rogozhin or Fraunhofer desire a certain being, they end up mutilating that being and leaving only a small bit of that remaining, which is really a fundamental psychological but also literary motif, which is kind of connected between the two. And that's something to keep in mind. Of course, there's more similarity that Joel Hunt turns to, but you'll have to check out the article for that just because there's no point going through all of them in this brief discussion. But what I want to turn our attention to more is the role of the Übermensch, or at least a moralist, because when we think about Übermensch, we think about Nietzsche, but the theme and mode of the amoralist through the history of literature and philosophy goes all the way back to Plato. But there's this very interesting relationship between Balzac and Dostoevsky, especially when you think about Raskolnikov and Rastignac. And as Grossman puts, and this is the central element of his thesis, both Dostoevsky and Balzac are wrestling with this idea of what does it mean to be a higher man, or this Übermensch, if you want to call it that. What is the right of a higher man? And to quote Grossman, he says, the right of the higher man to step through blood to attain his elevated and beautiful goal. It's almost the higher man has this power to view everything as an instrument to reach a higher, beautiful goal. Now, that's the idea behind a moralist, the idea that, okay, morals don't really matter as long as my goals are being fulfilled because I'm the higher man, I determine what is good and evil. But then the irony, which then is represented in both Balzac and Dostoevsky through Raskolnikov and Crime and Punishment and Rastignac, is that, well, they don't actually move towards a higher goal. They wrestle with the idea of immoralism, but not necessarily towards the higher goal. And this is a criticism that you might want to have of Grossman, but it's nonetheless kind of this ironic feature, because Raskolnikov, as you know, he kills the woman, not necessarily because he wants to achieve some beautiful vision of the world. Of course, he wrestles with the idea that he could do anything to justify things as long as he doesn't get caught in some sense. He has that kind of idea of the Übermensch. But when you actually look at it, practically speaking, why is he doing this? He is killing the woman to get the money because he needs to feed his family, provide for his family, provide for his sister, in a lot of senses. So there's this kind of very materialistic goal at the end, which is not this higher goal, which an Übermensch in theory, in abstracto, would have in his mind. In the same way, Rastignac, when he asks Bianchon about the idea of the right of this Übermensch or a superior man, Rastignac doesn't ask him, oh, can you kill people to rule the world or impart a certain philosophy on the world? He says, are you willing to kill a decrepit Chinese man for 1,000,000 francs? It's like, well, yes, you might have this idea that the amoralist is able to use everything as a form of utility, but that is being expressed in a very base way. It's being expressed in a form of, oh, they both want to just gain more money, Rastignac with the hypothetical 1,000,000 francs, and Raskolnikov trying to kill the pawnbroker just to be able to provide for his family. So although the idea of the Übermensch is to move towards this high and beautiful goal, it ends up being a very debased form of realism, a very debased form of expression of their desires for money, to put it very plainly. And this isn't something which is surprising or unique to Dostoevsky, because we notice that Dostoevsky being very influenced by Pushkin. And if you want me to talk about Dostoevsky's relation to Pushkin, let me know in the comments below. But Dostoevsky also reads in Pushkin's story, The Queen of Spades, where a guy called Hermann, who is described with the profile of Napoleon in the Soul of Mephistopheles, kills a countess to gain a secret formula to earn gambling success. So once again, you have that real paradox between, well, the Übermensch is meant to be moving towards this higher end, this idea of this superior man. But the ways in which they express that amoralism is not towards a superior man, but rather for the debasement of one's values, the kind of the suffering, the struggles that one goes through just for gambling success or money, 1,000,000 francs for Rastignac, money for Raskolnikov. So you notice that there's this really interesting ironic theme, which is found in Balzac, Dostoevsky, but of course in Pushkin as well, as I noted. So hopefully this kind of brief discussion expresses some of the ideas, some of the connections between Balzac and Dostoevsky. I hope you've enjoyed this video. Let me know your thoughts about the relationship between Balzac and Dostoevsky in the comments below. And if you want any more information or ideas about the development of Dostoevsky's ideas and his inspirations, then let me know in the comments below there. I'll happily make those videos for you. Stay safe, see you soon, and God bless. I'll see you next one.